Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Everybody, once again, we are back here at Checkpoint XP on campus. I have not one, but two very special guests right now. We have Charles Spencer and Jordan Sherman joining us. Charles is the graduate assistant for esports at Eastern Michigan University. And Jordan is the head of partnerships at Gen G Esports. You know that organization. They are the runners of many, many esports teams, including the Seoul Dynasty in the Overwatch League. So, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and the reason why we got these guys here is because Gen G Esports announced a partnership with Eastern Michigan University that includes a lot, and it's pretty dense, so I want us to get into it as soon as possible. So the first thing I got to ask, and this is to Charles, what was your reaction when you heard that an organization like Gen G was interested in working with you guys out at Eastern Michigan University?
It's funny because I thought about that from when I first started here at EMU back in August 2019. That was one of the down-the-line big goals to have, was to work with an esports org to do different activations and also get students opportunities. But when I finally heard it was a Gen G, I was kind of surprised, because around the time I knew Gen G and Kentucky was doing a big partnership with each other. And I was thinking, okay, well, that's done, so wait, what next? But then they came to our higher ups interested in doing the partnerships. Whoa, okay. That came out of nowhere. Great.
Yeah, and Jordan, you know, what kind of went into you guys' calculus to pick a school like Eastern Michigan University? As Charles said, you guys had a previous partnership, an existing partnership with the University of Kentucky. But you guys are you know, you got massive weight in the world of esports. You got a franchise in Overwatch, a franchise in League of Legends out there in Korea. So, you know, what led to you guys saying, you know, Eastern Michigan University, this is a place we wanna be?
A couple of different things, I'd say. For one, I think it always starts kind of with leadership, whether you're a huge corporation or a university. You need leadership that looks at a situation, that sees an opportunity, particularly esports and gaming in this case, and says, this is a place we want to be, this is a place we can grow, and this is a place that's in line with our values. And for people like us who love gaming and have been involved in this industry for a long time, we get that. But a lot of corporations, a lot of universities don't. And through our conversations with Eastern Michigan, they recognized esports and gaming is a way for us to take the next level up. And what does a level up mean? For them, it's recruiting new students to the university. You know, people who are smart, people who are based in computers and social media and technology, who gaming is a part of their lives, who are from Michigan. How do we get them to the school? And then think about retention. Students who are already at school, maybe someone who wants to be a doctor or wants to be a lawyer, who's really juggling a heavy course load. What type of esports and gaming opportunities can we build for those people to help create something where they feel like they have a social network through gaming? Because they're going to do it anyway. So can the university become part of that? Or alumni, people who've graduated recently, who are like, man, like my school, I just missed it. Like gaming was just, I was a little bit too early. Being in a place where you can actually, like, as part of homecoming, welcome alumni back to the university and say like, hey, we maybe missed it while you were here, but we're going to take steps now to build this and you're still part of it.
That's crazy. I've never thought of like a imagine a homecoming weekend that involves like a massive esports tournament. I would have never conceptualized that as a student when I was in college. And so, you know, I want to get into what this partnership entails right quick, not to cut you off, Jordan, I'm sorry. But, you know,
that's I mean, those are the types of stuff we want to build. Like Eastern Michigan and Charles and his team have been great about like, they got their pulse on what the students are interested in. And I think what we can help bring is like the infrastructure to help think through ideas. So like another example, like homecoming, I think is a great example. Another example is Eastern Smash community in Michigan, and Eastern Michigan is huge. The Smash community, they're always going to keep playing Smash amongst their people. But when we actually went to them and said, hey, would you be interested in helping the university by connecting with high school Smash groups and doing like weekly events to help recruit them? They were like, yeah, they were really excited. So we actually hired interns from the Smash group. So now we have like career development opportunities for them within gaming. And we're helping the university. We have 34 high schools that have already done this from 6 different states that are now playing Smash with the students. And the hope there is they're like, oh shoot, like this is a community for me. When I go to school, I want to make sure I go to a place where I know people and that they get me. And our hope is to build those connections.
Yeah. And you know, one other thing I want to ask about here in you guys' announcement about this partnership. Now, this is a partnership that we did cover when you guys announced it originally a couple months ago. But I want to talk a little bit about the Women in Gaming, the Gamer Girls Get It Done program that I find really interesting. You got a session coming up for this, it says next week. So Charles, what is that sort of part of the partnership about, and what do you hope to accomplish with that particular event?
It for us, I'm hoping that teens and girls from 11 to 17 get a chance to really you know, work together with other women that is a part of the industry, not just pros, but content creators and also executives on a way that you don't usually see. So we have like a 3-day camp going over different parts of the industry where they have networking time, where they get really asked a lot of questions about gaming, and then a time where they could play video games together like Fortnite. And it's getting together with Gen Z's back staff, where it was some of the executives that are going to be talking, whether it's Team Bumble, the all-women's Fortnite team that will be playing Fortnite with kids, and also Jess Brohard, among other content creators, that would definitely be talking about how her time in the industry, which she's been a great veteran of almost past a decade, working in different parts, including Call of Duty, which I've been involved in different ways through moderating and just looking at the game. So a big part of that is really getting those connections, unlike most other camps for kids.
Yeah, and that's really cool and really awesome. It's something that I find incredibly commendable, because we know if this thing is going to continue to grow, we got to engage with the youth and get them into these systems as soon as possible. You're watching Checkpoint XP on campus right now. We're with Charles Spencer from Eastern Michigan University and Jordan Sherman of Gen G Esports. And I want to ask you this right quick, Jordan, and this is a question that I've had for, you know, people involved already in the esports industry, is that when we look at the college scene, the American sort of track of collegiate esports is very competitive. It's about the competitors. It's about, you know, people going into the actual field of play. Whereas other countries, you know, in Europe and parts of Asia are taking more of the esports management and the back end sort of point of view to esports. For you guys as an organization, how important is it for you to get involved at the collegiate level and start, you know, and start to help flesh out some of these programs?
Yeah, very important. Our goal is to grow the pie. We want to make esports bigger on the collegiate space. And that means, you know, defining and expanding the esports industry. And then over time, us and our partners, we become recognized as like the leaders in the space. So for example, why is that important? Okay, it's not just about, like, Eastern Michigan has teams that are going to be playing in tournaments, which is excellent. And we're super supportive of them. They finished top three in a tournament 2 weeks ago at Wayne State. We're really happy. But that's just the team, right? Like, there's so much more infrastructure that happens in this industry. Think about, like, for example, broadcast journalism, like what you do, shoutcasting, production, business. Like that, those are like four different verticals around competitive that we're interested in. And then when you get away from competitive, we're more interested in like career development, academics. How can you supplement someone's existing academic experience with an additional esports entrepreneurship opportunity? How do you kind of open career development opportunities so someone can get an internship in esports or get some type of experience on top of what they're already doing to just become a more well-rounded person, a well-rounded citizen? I don't think necessarily we need to take everyone in Eastern Michigan has to study esports. I don't think that's what we want to do. What we want to do is, if you're a student at Eastern Michigan, no matter who you are or what you want to study, there will be a gaming experience for you, whether you've never touched a controller before or whether you're competitive. And then when you look at that landscape, then we have like so much room to build. Like, we don't have enough time type of thing.
Awesome. And so, you know, just very quickly, you know, one last thing I want to ask you guys. It's a two-part question. One, you know, how long can we expect the partnership going on? Is this for the summer thing, or is this more longitudinal? And what would you guys consider to be a success for the partnership and the program?
Charles, you want to go first, or you want me to go?
Well, I'll go. I don't know the exact particulars of that part, but I can answer the second. Our goal for us would be having to make sure that more students, current students, are engaged, alumni feel like they can connect back towards the school, and then for underlining the community part, where it comes in to have education, sort of what other high schools, middle schools throughout the region can do with their esports programs, to really get towards a helping them create their own esports ecosystem within their school and within their part of the region. I talked to a few people in the past. They talk about how they're interested in a program, but the high school athletic associations are not. So they don't really know what to do. Us, we can come in and really help towards how to have them get started with their programs or take their programs to the next level. And that's where another big part of that comes in. And of course, we want our students to feel good to be gamers at Eastern Michigan, and give opportunities. For example, our president of the Smash Club is a Gen G intern, helping out with certain high school tournaments that's been on EMU Esports. And we're also having a great sense of a student staff that helps out and with the program overall, that really puts a lot of good work in, from Maya, our digital media assistant, who does great top five videos on our social medias, to our graphic design person, Cal, where he really does a great job with putting designs together for potentially our jersey. So we want to be able to get these students engaged and part of esports in many different ways for us to have a future for gamers to be proud of.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I agree with all that. And it's a multi-year partnership. So it's not just something where it's like, okay, we're trying this out for the summer. Like, Eastern Michigan has made a commitment that esports is going to be part of their future. Charles's story is amazing. And like the people that we've met on campus, like how gaming has changed their lives. And that stuff I think is really inspiring. And so what I'm hoping for, even if you're not an Eastern Michigan student right now, there's still a lot of ways to kind of get involved and be a part of it. And basically what we're saying is, like, not only is it okay to be a gamer, it's like, you're going to have gaming, you're going to be able to meet other gamers, and you're going to have gaming experiences that are going to help you in life. And then overall, as we do that, we're going to make esports bigger at college. So that's what we're really trying to do.
Awesome. Charles Spencer of Eastern Michigan University and Jordan Sherman of Gen G Esports have been our guests. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope to see even more from both of you guys in the future. And just one quick thing that I got to put out there is, once again, guys, the Mail West, I'm telling you, a hotbed of esports. It's not just on the coast. Look out for the Mail West. We on the way.
I agree. It's freezing in the winter. People are gaming all winter long in the Midwest. Like, it's not an LA thing.
6 months of the year, you in the house.
step into the secret lair of the great Landis and Professor Awesome on The Other Identity. Joining on the adventure of a lifetime as Robbie Landis and former editorial director of digital content at Marvel, Ben Morris, team up to defeat the evils of bad comic book opinions. They're joined by guests like Kelly Thompson and the creators of the 90s X-Men cartoon. Discover a whole new lair to the world of superheroes and comics on The Other Identity. Download at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint XP on campus. So if you want to hear about the cool conversations that nerds have about everything besides video games, make sure you join us. That's Checkpoint AFK on Google Podcasts, BPod Studios, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Checkpoint XP on campus one more time. Your host, Norris Howard, here alongside Jacob Brothers, the man with the galaxy brain. And right now, we have to go over a new player in the collegiate esports space. That's right. FaceIt has joined the chat into collegiate esports. Now, if you're unfamiliar with FaceIt, FaceIt has done a litany of tournaments in multiple esports, especially in the CSGO world. They're huge partners with a lot of big tournaments. They have their own tournament. They've done stuff at, you know, DreamHack. They're a huge deal, and they are now entering the college esports space. So, Jacob, we have even more stuff to follow now.
And it will be even more confusing because these are the kings of Counter-Strike organizing. And Counter-Strike organization, it makes me feel like I actually can't read when I try to keep up with all of their different kinds of tournaments because I never know what's what. But FaceIt is organized phenomenally at the same time. Like, they have, like, people will use FaceIt exclusively with Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, this is our player base. This is where the real gamers are. And they do have, like, their own, like, skill ranking system, which is kind of cool. So they have a lot of really good ideas that will no doubt pop up at the collegiate level. And they actually already have done some collegiate stuff. I mean, again, I forget the name of it because, you know, it's a mile long and a bunch of words thrown together. But they did have a tournament last year. Or no. It was in March of this year where Robert Morris won. So
yeah.
Some of these tournaments have already caught traction. Some have been canceled because of we all know what. And so as this starts to launch, I think it'll probably do pretty well. I'm pretty confident in that take. With CSL blood in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of that, you have Duren Parsi, who is the former former executive and founder at Collegiate Star League, that is going to be running this particular division. And, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, they say that they're going to have better anti-cheat, you know, matchmaking is going to be on point and everything is going to be sort of closed system. And so it'll be easier for collegiate players to participate in this particular I don't know what to call it, a division?
It is a division. Yeah, the official name is, it's the FaceIt Collegiate Esports Division.
That's another division
that's not tied to any other division.
Yeah, and again, you know, for as much as, you know, we love and appreciate having more content and more things to talk about, at the same time, I almost feel like I would prefer if FaceIt just joined with an existing conference.
Well, that's
just that
world.
We'll just run your back end and, you know, how cool would it be to say, yeah, the FaceIt SEC esports division?
Yeah. No, the perfect world would be to tie all of these divisions together under one roof. Now, that might happen by 2030, but we're not there yet. So we'll just have to struggle for a little while longer, you know. But I think it will be interesting as time goes on to see, like, which divisions pair up.
Yeah.
It's not out of the question for Mountain West to pair up. Maybe someone even, like,
Pac-12.
Big Pac-12 or something, because they're just divisions that are known for D1 schools. So those pairings will probably happen over time. I'm more curious about what these smaller school divisions will do. Like, what we, like, briefly talked about last week of, like, a lot of these schools are smaller schools, and these D1 schools might feel like, oh, you know, you may be a better gamer, but we can tackle better in football. And they might, like, not want to play in that crowd, you know? So
yeah, I mean, I would love to see You know what? I want to see that friction. I want to see the conference of, you know, your Maryvilles and Aquinas's and Harrisburgs and all those types of schools come up against these big, you know, Power Five schools and really take it to them, man, because esports is this new frontier and the traditional sort of, you know, strong athletic schools, it doesn't apply. And so,
and we haven't really gotten those rivalries yet either. Which
exactly.
Really,
and so I want to see more of this. And back to the point on Face It that I think is really important is that I love anybody coming in and trying to make more structure to this whole thing. Yeah. But at the same time, I also feel like, oh, Lord, like it's just more. And I love that. But it is going to be another thing. And I really hope they have their leaderboards and everything on point.
On that, I think if it's going to be any company that does this kind of organizing, Face It's definitely like a top three. Like they've always been good about their leaderboards. They've been good about here's this file for the tournament. Here are the competitors. All those tabs because it's a PC client. So like by nature, it's kind of built with those things already in it. So I think dropping college into that won't be very hard, especially because Collegiate Counter-Strike is kind of on the lower end of popularity, which is weird compared to Counter-Strike being on the top end of professional popularity.
Yeah.
So having someone like Face It behind it to push it into the forefront and even Face It like on Twitch themselves is really popular, have a big following. They could probably get a lot of schools on the map, which would be really cool to see.
Yeah, I hope so. And that's the biggest point is that what I hope comes out of this is that we see a couple schools that maybe have, you know, slipped through the cracks, really emerge and begin to be known as esports powerhouses. But the last thing is that we don't know what schools are involved quite yet. This thing is very much so in this infancy stage, but we will be tracking that and trying to get a hold of anybody we can from Face It, because they are going to go head up against Collegiate Star League and create. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's what the drama will be. Maybe the drama will be, maybe the drama will be like CSL versus Face It finals. For the national championship. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, well, we're so lucky to have these kind of storylines now in this era to be like, oh, the CEO of a different collegiate esport organization is now going to another organization to launch their collegiate esport organization. And like, most people would probably be like, who cares? But for us, it's like, it's kind of cool that we can actually say that now instead of where do we go on Twitch to watch a match? We are progressing very quickly.
Very quickly.
Hey, what's up? I'm Robbie from Checkpoint XP.
And I'm Jake from the Overwatch League casting team. And together, we're your hosts of the Owl's Nest.
With the Overwatch League up and running again, we'll be bringing you all the latest from the league and within Overwatch.
But it's important that we all do our part to flatten the curve by staying home during the COVID-19 outbreak.
So stay home.
Stay healthy.
And we'll see you every Friday night on the Owl's Nest before the Overwatch League weekend.
Check it out at the Checkpoint XP YouTube channel or at checkpointxp.com.
Hey, what's up? It's James.
And Robbie.
Hey, and it's Weird Beard.
And we're bringing you a brand new radio show called Checkpoint XP.
You don't have to be an expert, even though I am, and we're here to give you everything you need to know about the world of video games.
Interviews from the biggest professionals and your everyday gamers, we've got you covered at Checkpoint XP.
Whether you're a professional player or somebody who hasn't played in a while, we have something for everybody.
Hang out with us at Checkpoint XP every single week on your radio.
Find out where we're playing in your hometown at our website, checkpointxp.com.
So if you're looking to have some fun and talk about video games,
we got the rundowns for things that matter to you.
Checkpoint XP,
your home for esports and gaming.
Got it that time.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Checkpoint XP on campus, your resource for collegiate esports and the world beyond. Your host, Norris Howard, here, joined by the Andromeda brain known as Jacob Brothers. And right now, we got to talk about something dead serious, guys. This is probably the most shocking, surprising, and serious story we have ever covered on Checkpoint XP on campus. And that is the fact that Pokemon is coming out with a MOBA. Pokemon esports, for real,
Monster
for real.
MOBA.
We're
Bro,
here.
I am so amped.
Convergence. Okay, this is too many. This is so many ideas colliding at the same time that I really don't know what to do with myself. But we are going to briefly break down what is in this trailer, because let me tell you something. The world of Pokemon lost its collective mind when this trailer was released, much to the enjoyment and schadenfreude of somebody like me who cannot stand the average Pokemon fan. But I digress. So, Jacob, what is this game like, and what kind of Pokemon can we play? That's the number one thing.
All right. I am the Pokemon person of this
the
duo.
The Pokemaniac.
I love how you still say Pokemon.
the Pokemaniac.
Right. But, yeah, so it's really going to work more like Heroes of the Storm than League, which I'm honestly more amped about. But let's just start with the Pokemon, because that's what people care about the most. Who's going to be in it? So
Charizard, you better be there.
Well, Charizard, it wouldn't be a Pokemon game. But they only listed out the first couple, and they have Snorlax, Lucario, Charizard, Blastoise, Pikachu, Clefable, Talonflame, Venusaur, Gengar, and Machamp.
So these are mostly Gen 1s and, like, 1 Gen 6. Oh, yeah. Lucario is Gen
Everyone's Gen 1. There's a Gen 4 and a Gen 6. I'm a little pissed about that, but we can get to that later. But the core gameplay is 5v5, like you would expect. And what's different is, for anyone who is familiar with Heroes of the Storm, there's a map called Tomb of the Spider Queen. And that is this exact video game, to where you attack the wild Pokemon you see around you, you get points, you go to points to score, and you score the points. And that's how you win. And the point scoring areas is where the towers would usually be. And then with more Heroes of the Storm Blood, as your Pokemon are leveling up and evolving, you're able to learn moves, but you'll have an option of moves. So you can build your character out differently. So say like a Fire Blast, right? So say like a Fire Blast would cause like an AoE after use versus picking Flamethrower instead, which would have a longer range
or more
poke damage. So that's honestly the most exciting part to me, because you can build out them all to be differently and have counterplay and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
The biggest thing to me, though, is that then, you know, we will have to remove like typings and advantages out of something like that, because, I mean, if picks and bans would be a nightmare having to deal with just general balance and then also typings on top of that, right?
Yeah, and they did take out type advantages because of that, which makes the purists big mad. It's not even a Pokemon game, they said in the live chat. But they literally said, but they also all have ultimates.
I guess Pokemon Snap's not a Pokemon game either.
Apparently not, man, because, you know, I don't remember throwing an electric type ball at the Gyarados, but I played it. They all have an ultimate, which is really cool, because you can even see in the trailer, like when Blastoise uses ultimate, you saw an overshield come up, and I was like,
A word?
Are we about to have some real MOBA systems in this game?
Yeah.
But you did say that you stopped playing Pokemon around like Gen 3, right?
Yeah, around there.
I'll admit that you stopped one gen early, but you still played the Golden Age. One through four is the Golden Era of Pokemon.
Four is where I am a little bit upset that I missed, because I do like Lucario and I like a couple of the other Pokemon that I see in Gen 4. Cool, I could care less about the rest of these Pokemon.
That
listen, I knew this was going on the downslope when Sudowoodo was in Gen 2, and I was just like, I am not confident where this is going. And then they came out with Dialga and all the other ones, and they're like, these are literally the Holy Trinity is literally Father, Son, Pokemon. The Holy Spirit as Pokemon, and I didn't like that. So, I completely checked out of Pokemon, to be perfectly fair. But this looks cool. This may get me back into it for my love of MOBAs and my love of Pokemon, at least early Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I will be the guy who, like, will have a Charizard hard carry, you know, in a bot lane, and just do the dang old thing, man. So I'm excited
to see
this. On
that topic, with your limited-ish generation knowledge, who is not here that you think needs to be here?
Scyther. Scyther Jungle.
Good pick.
Flat out.
That's a very good pick. See, I just care about the Gen 4 stuff. Well, Empoleon's my favorite Pokemon, so he needs to be in there. A physical water attacker. He was the first starter with Aqua Jet, which could close the gap, and he also learned Metal Claw. So, they could do so many things with this game. And
For me, it is definitely Scyther, and it is at least one legendary per gen. You got to at least have one.
The Legendary, it'll be interesting to see, but I remember a conversation a long time ago that we are on the same page about the best Eevee evolution, which is Umbreon.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
By far so, the best.
Umbreon and Espeon should be in this game. The rest of them, whatever. But Umbreon and Espeon.
What if you're Eevee, right? What if you just get Eevee, right? And you level up. Right? And your level up is picking which evolution.
The amount of danger in that statement is very brave.
It's just a Felios from League right now. You just build same way you build a Felios, and there you have it. But yeah, if I get Scyther and I get Zapdos, this is a day one buy for me, flat out.
Right. Yeah, and there's so many Gen 4, even Gen 6. There's some cool ones. A lot of people need to be in here, but the other side story is that people are big mad.
Huge mad. People are huge mad. So, like, if you haven't noticed, or if you haven't checked it out, the video of the announcement for this in the Nintendo Direct that they had has more downvotes than, I think 10%, 10 or something percent of every view is a downvote. Let me tell you something, okay? If you are a grown man, if you're a grown-ass man, okay, and you are downvoting videos on Pokemon because you're upset that it's not a Gen 4 remaster, I really need you to put on a mask, make sure you wash your hands, and I need you to go outside. I'm not going to tell you to do anything dangerous, but I just need you to go outside and just get some sun, get some fresh air. You know, don't cut on Pokemon Go. Just go outside and just get away from everybody else, because it is clear that you have way too much access to the internet on your hands. And I think that some sun and some blue skies will do you a lot of good, because there is no way in the world this many people should be this mad at a game announcement. I'm sorry.
And there's other video games too. But while I do agree with you, I will bring up a counterpoint. So when they announced Pokemon Let's Go, Eevee and Pikachu, which was more fan service to Gen 1.
Absolutely.
I was the king of the Gen 4 remake crowd, because it's like, this is a game that we all want, and if you're following this general schedule that they were doing, Gen 4 was due next. Very popular Pokemon gen. Way more popular than Gen 5. And they're like, what if we just do Gen 1 again? So if they had remade Gen 2, I would be on the side of the people mad. Because at this point, it would just be completely ignoring your fan base. But this is a brand new idea. This is a completely new game. It could be utilized phenomenally. It's already on the Switch and on mobile. Well, not released yet, but it will be on those platforms. Yeah. And I have been waiting for a Nintendo Smite, honestly, for the last, like, maybe 5 years. That's what I've been waiting for.
Think about how awesome this could be. They can add in new Pokemon to this for till time immemorial. Like,
they will, I promise,
forever. And that's the part I don't understand. I you know what this is? This is because Pokemon, and this is, I don't care how people feel about this, Pokemon is a training wheels RPG that people who are not very good at video games really like Pokemon, because that's the only type of RPG they can play. Mm-hmm. And playing a MOBA would force them to learn something like mechanics. So
similar to Star Wars fans, Pokemon fans are just so into their tradition, which is good in some cases, but in a brand new idea, like, you should not be mad at a new idea.
Is it
upsetting that we don't have Gen 4 remake? Yes. Is it upsetting that not every Pokemon was in a Pokemon game? Yes. For a brand new idea that this thing will chug on for probably a decade, adding even more Pokemon that you do not care to even look at, this is going to be awesome.
I don't have Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I got over it. So four. I got over it. So. It is what it is.
Those stones added so much depth to the game. What are you talking about?
Shut up. I hate this. Shut up. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to this game, and I think it'll be actually big fun.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think Nintendo is in the habit of trying new ideas and doing them bad. You know, Nintendo's going to go all the way in if they try a new idea.
Yeah, so even excited. Though it's not them making it, but they'll definitely, they've always like pressed on their seal of approval. Like if a game is not good, it's like Metroid 4. Someone else is making Metroid 4 and they're like, can the entire game. We do not like this. So when this comes out, it'll definitely be polished. And it will, can't promise that, but it'll definitely be full of good ideas at the very least.
I just want to say that Dana White right now is the baddest man on the planet. The fact that he can come up with a blueprint, have someone test positive for coronavirus, send them home, have two shows continue and have another tonight, and the fact that the show went on and no one else got sick and people got tested, he's got the blueprint to get this thing going. But Dan Lifshad's watched a ton of UFC over the last couple of weeks. I like to bet on it. And I know the guy's a little bit in a connection, but we'll get into that later. But you watched. And as someone who bets on sports, it's been interesting, right?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes when it comes to the judges, things can be a little controversial.
Listen, I've always been a UFC guy. I like to watch here and there. Watching two entire events. I think I missed the first half of Wednesday night, the first few fights. But basically watching almost two full events. It was fantastic. The product was fantastic. The fights were fantastic. This is not to sound bad. The only fight that I've really disliked, Joe, was actually the fight that there was sharp money that we kind of talked about on. It was kind of a boring fight.
But you have a juicy nugget that we'll share later today.
Yes. So I gave out a sharp play one last week.
Yep. And I faded it.
Controversy because Joe went against it. And there is a belief that she did not win, that the other side won.